A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Don't Blame Me, where we give you wonderful, amazing, life-changing advice. Are you ready to change some lives, Melissa?
Always. I walk into the world. First of all, I wake up, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning, because that's where all leaders, that's the time that we all wake up, because you don't want to, you know, if you have to go to the bathroom, you don't go back to sleep. You just stay up. So I woke up at 4 o'clock, had some peptides and seawater, and then went for a 10 mile run, came back home, had a little bit of peanut butter on a piece of toast. And then that's when I started answering my emails. So from 6 to 6:15, I just answered emails straight and then answered any message I have for my assistant. And then I went and I had to go get, you know, a little blood test, as I always do, to just make sure that I'm staying youthful. And then I had the blood of a baby injected into me.
That's your worst nightmare.
And then my day really started. And that's when I went to meetings, and then prep for this one. And then now we're recording.
When did you find the time to cold plunge?
You're right. It was just a full morning, and I just couldn't get to it. But don't worry, I'll do it between this and But Am I Wrong when we record.
It's a great call, because can you really be a CEO, a boss, without a cold plunge? Can you be an entrepreneur without having a little metal tub in your backyard filled with ice that you hop in and you quiver in? You're so cold, Jakey. I just have to say, like, anyone who like thinks about like, I don't know, these like, I want to be like them, these inspiration, these like these big strong men who are doing all the, just picture them shaking their low boots off in that thing. Like, it's just so funny to me.
And then having another man whisper into their ear while they're doing it, you can do it, you got this, man.
And then being like, especially when they get out and they're like they curled up, like, so cool, so cool. Just imagine that. Like, it's just, it's such a nice image. And I saw this TikTok of Kelsey Kreppel, who's married to Cody Ko, saying that, like, you know, she like has never really gotten the ick with him. And she goes, then we got a cold plunge. And she was like, ooh, this is ew, gross. And I just thought that was so realistic, because like, I don't ever want to see Mott doing that.
I saw a little clip on TikTok, and it was not a cold plunge, but similar, a cryo tank. And it was from one of these TV shows where like a Chicago
fire
based.
Med.
Yeah, I think it might have been. Do they have one about ambulance drivers?
Oh, Chicago 411. I don't know. But yeah, like, I'm sure they fucking do. Chicago ASAP.
It might have been it might have been that Ryan Murphy show that Angela Bassett is on. That one, 911. Is that what it's called? Yeah. I don't know.
That's Ryan Murphy?
Yes.
We're diversifying.
That's
Ryan.
The only reason why Angela Bassett
Wait,
is on.
Well, first of all, I always wondered why Angela Bassett was on that show. But now I have, that's actually, now I have more questions.
Yeah. So someone had got like stuck in the tank, and for some reason the latch of it wasn't working, and then they got frozen, but they were still alive. And so then the clip, I think they accidentally like broke his finger off or something, and then the clip ended. And I was like, I don't want to watch the rest of this.
Unfortunately, you are misremembering, and unfortunately, it's actually worse. They're trying to do chest compressions on him, and then they concave.
Oh, you're right. And the hand goes through the chest.
Because Angela Bassett's hanging, going, told you not to do that. Like, I saw that clip on TikTok, so fucking scarring.
Yes.
And it's the only time I've never been like, ooh, they're like part one of 640. It's the only time I've been like, skip, I do not want to see the next part. I said, don't show me this again.
You're correct. They went straight through the chest. And I said, no. Clearly, I had blocked it out my brain, too.
Well, naturally, because it was so foul. And now that you say that Ryan Murphy's behind it, it makes a little bit more sense. And I go, okay, that's why. That's why we did this. Well, how did we even get there?
We're talking about the cold plunges, what I did this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Or as I like to call it, Q1 of my day.
That's actually fucking funny. But anyways, welcome to a podcast where we give you advice. And if you're brand new here and you don't know how to participate in our show, you can give us a call at 310-694-0976. And international listeners, you can send us an audio message at meganpodcast@gmail.com. You have to keep it under 3 minutes. We ask that you write everything down, practice reading it out loud a couple of times, time it all out. Make sure, again, it's under that 3 minutes. You're over 18 or have your parents' permission, and you include as many details as possible. We do ask that you include your age. You can include your pronouns if you would like, but you do not have to. And then we also accept written submissions as of somewhat recently. And so you can send those into our DMs, or you can also email them to that same email address, meganpodcast@gmail.com. And for that, you have to keep it under 300 words. And same thing, they'll include as much information as possible. You can always let us know if you are sensitive, but the more info we have, the more accurate we can be with giving advice, and hopefully it will be more helpful to you. Anything before we get into it?
Just a reminder, you can leave reviews on Apple and Spotify. Spotify, you can leave episode-specific reviews as well.
And I would say that, you know, if I was a listener, I would make sure that I would review 2 weeks ago the episode of But Am I Wrong? One of our best as of late. I think it's so funny. And not that all of these other episodes like aren't great, but you know, that episode, I think it's a standout.
I do too. Maybe I'll submit it for a Webby. All right. Shall we get into the episode?
We shall.
Hello, Megan and Melissa. Longtime listener, first time write-in. I wanted to get your advice on how to stay motivated in life. I am currently in my first year of university to become a teacher, so I'm currently doing a Bachelor of Arts. I am really struggling to find motivation to try hard in any of my classes or anything in life. I don't think I'm depressed, maybe a little seasonal depression, but overall in my life, I find it difficult to have motivation to accomplish anything. I have many hobbies I try to keep up, like reading, crocheting, journaling, and art, but I can't bring myself to do any of them anymore. Also, I find it hard to sit down and study or write for school. I feel like I am falling behind because I am not trying to improve any of my skills or not working towards any goals. Instead, I'm just watching videos and playing Sims. I am not a very ambitious person and always try to take it try to take the easy way out. I am asking how you guys become motivated to do something and stay motivated. How can I feel like I am accomplishing something in my life? Also, any tips for dealing with procrastination would be great. Thanks for reading. Love the podcast.
Yikes. Feel targeted. Here's the thing. I wouldn't so quickly like brush off to say that you're not depressed. Like there's levels of like depression. Mm-hmm. Are you getting enjoyment from watch like playing Sims and like watching things? Because I do think that's like important of like, where are you seeking things that make you happy? Just because things that like hobbies that previously you enjoyed, you might not enjoy right now. That doesn't mean that you're depressed. It could just mean you're going through a different phase and you're not into that stuff currently. So I think it's more about like a lack of like, is there anything that you're enjoying doing? Because I think that's a component. But I also think the continuous motivation and ambition is a farce. Like it's just a scam that we've like led people to believe that everyone's like, and like, it's just not true. And a lot of the time when you see people who are like career coaches or whatever, they're like not telling you like how to hustle and grind constantly. And I don't think that what they do is ethical, but they're telling you like how to work for with as little effort as possible, as for as little time as possible, and make as much money as possible. So like, I don't know, I don't think that feeling unmotivated in terms of school or anything like that, like I don't want you to think that that's you're very different than your peers. It's just not something a lot of people would feel comfortable admitting, because for some reason like ambition is like the most attractive trait and quality, which is also kind of like, what does that even mean?
That you want more, more, more. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty much in the same position as you are in right now, Ryder. I have no motivation to do any. Well, I'll say this week, I'm better off than I was last week.
I love that.
And better off than I was 2 weeks ago. I had absolutely no motivation for doing anything. I was like, why do I need to work? Why can't I just be rich? Why do I have to get up? Like, it wasn't like, you know, I was having ideations about things. I was just like, I just don't understand the purpose of anything.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do anything. I just kind of, we were talking about list on See You Next Tuesday, which comes out tomorrow. And I just kind of just wrote down lists of everything that I wanted to do and what I actually like accomplished last year. Cause I was like, I worked so hard last year and I had nothing to show for it. And I was like, I actually did do some good things, not what I wanted to achieve, but like I did do some things. This week, I feel a little bit better because I'm knocking things off my list. And then I had some opportunities come my way. And I'm like, okay, good. And then I also changed my mindset about a couple other things and that helped. But yeah, like I go through these. I go through these like up and down. It's like a seesaw. Sometimes I'm like super motivated. I just want to get everything done. And like, I'm feeling like super, like when I made the list for us, like our business, I was like, go, go, go. And then I was like, why?
Yeah.
Why do I care anymore?
No, I'm the exact same way. Like I'm either like all in or just like all fucking out. And it's really hard to have like, dare I say like impossible to have sustained ambition and motivation, because it's a taxing mental state to be in. Like you can't actually be like at go all the time. Like you have to be at rest for other parts of it too. And so I think like sometimes life happens, sometimes personal things get in the way, sometimes like your sleep can get in the way, sometimes like I don't know, like things can throw you off that you don't even realize. Like you're going grocery shopping, you've one day a week to get all your grocery shopping done, and they don't have like five of the things that you had wanted and planned. And like you can, it can just feel like there's too many curveballs to feel like you're set up for success. But I think like having something like as simple as like watching TV or movies and like playing a game that you have when you're not feeling super motivated, like that you can have something that does like you do enjoy, and just not try not to be hard on yourself, because like it does pass. Like you, the ebb and flow, like you said, it is a seesaw. An ADHD trick that like people talk about all the time is like, for a lot of people who don't have ADHD, and I'm not saying that you have ADHD, but this can be helpful for like truly anybody. Instead of being like, start with the hardest task so you can get that over with, it's like, that's not how my brain works. It's like, I need to build up the momentum and the stamina to get to that point where you can accomplish that. So it's like, do the fucking easiest things first. Do the things that like, don't like, maybe don't take as much time or as much brain power. And like, they also might not even be the most important things, but they kind of feel like they get you back into the swing of things. They get you back into the role of like being motivated. And it doesn't even have to be anything directly productive. So like, I, similar to Melissa, and like her, we've had a lot of offline discussions about being like, this is, life is life. And that like, I've been feeling like very similar, like just like super, just super fucking unmotivated. And like things that I loved being like, it's not that I don't love them anymore, but it's just like, they're looking like a task and they're looking like a chore. And like, there's not a, like a fire, that I'm not seeing a fire that I have for them. And so then, even though this doesn't necessarily accomplish anything on my to-do list, and I don't know what the case would be for you for this, of like, it could be like starting a new craft, but like I wrote an entire outline for a Christmas movie. And it was like, oh, you know what? Like, I forgot that like, I like this part of my brain. So like, I can use this part of my brain in the stuff that I actually have to get done, or things that I can materialize a lot better and quicker than this thing. It can feel a little bit frivolous and like brain candy, but it's still using that same side of my brain, and like encourages to like acknowledge like the positive traits in yourself. They're like, oh wow, this is nice. Cause I think like school can bog you down, and classes can bog you down, and like crafts that you've already started and hobbies, I also think can bog, like I would maybe recommend trying something totally new. And then there's also like motivation and depression, like that kind of line there is blurry, because it's a lot of it is time. And so I think, not completely skewing away that like, oh, you might be dealing with like some seasonal depression or whatever that is, thinking of like seasonal depression that I've started to do, thinking that is something that it's like, it doesn't have to be, oh, this is a whole, I'm going to have to go to another therapist. Like, it doesn't have to be a huge to do. It can just be like, right now I'm in like a low point seasonally, and I don't have to climb out of that. I can wait, and I can, you know, take care of myself in this time, and I can do X, Y, and Z and these things that make me happier, but I don't have to like will this away. Like, if it is a seasonal thing, like I'm going to let the season pass and like do with this what I can. So I wouldn't like turn a total blind eye to like the mental health aspect if that's involved, but you're also like, this is so normal. Like, I can't stress how normal this is. Like, I don't know anybody who has constant motivation and ambition. And if they say they do, they're lying.
Yeah.
Fully.
Agree.
Especially like teaching, that's taxing.
Yeah. Make lists. Also, you know, maybe go to your school's mental health facility and talk to someone, join some clubs. Maybe don't do a lot of things. If, you know, you talked about your hobbies, maybe don't do a lot of solo hobbies. Figure out some like clubs that you can join. And I think that'll help.
Yeah. And sometimes like just exhausting the thing that's making you happy. Like, if you just want to play Sims and like watch TV, like maybe take a full day to do that. And then you're like, okay, it's kind of out of my system.
There's this person on TikTok that has like rot days where they plan out how to have rot days, and like at this, like stay in bed till this point, and then like at this point, get up, put your feet on the ground, and then like go for a walk, and then come back, get back in bed. Like, they have different schedules depending, like maybe I'm going to start a rot day at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, or I started at 8 o'clock. And I think it's great. And I'll try to find that person and put the link in the description too.
Yeah, I've really tried to like set aside time each day to allow myself to be distracted and to like not have anything else to do to be productive. And it makes me feel a hell of a lot less like shame and guilt of like, and especially with someone who has like obsessive tendencies, like picking my skin or whatever. When it's like, I'm not supposed to be doing this, but I'm like, you have an hour. You can spend, fill this hour with whatever you want. You're going to eat lunch. You can like watch TikToks. You can play games, like pick your skin, but like you've got an hour and you're going to set a timer for this. And it feels like it's a part of my day. And even if it might not be like a healthy habit or whatever, or it doesn't like get me to where I need to go mentally and dopamine wise. Like, I need this so I'm not, you know, reaching for my phone or trying to distract myself from other things. You kind of like, you've seen everything that's been posted on Instagram. You've seen all the Reddit posts. Like, I don't know. And I do think sometimes immersing yourself and doing like a scrolling, people always talk about like a mindless doom scroll or whatever. I think if you intentionally follow different things and like you look at different things from everywhere, like it can be motivating and kind of inspiring because like it's just interesting. Like, and it can make you interested in learning more about something else or reading more about whatever that is. And it can just spark your interest in gaining knowledge and information, which is effective in school, even if it's not the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. But you're so normal. Like, I can't stress enough how you're not doing anything wrong.
Agree. All right, next one.
Hey, Megan. Hey, Melissa. Longtime listener, second time caller. I'm calling in for advice about my relationship with my mom. Growing up, I had a pretty good relationship with her. We never really got into any arguments, and I never had an I hate my parents rebellious phase. Out of both of my parents, she is the one that I'm closer to, mostly because my sperm donor is a piece of shit who I haven't talked to in almost 4 years. A lot of people view my mom as a very sweet Christian woman who could do no harm. While I don't believe my mother is an evil person, our relationship is extremely complicated. Once I graduated college and moved out on my own, I started to reflect about my childhood and realized that my mother was very emotionally manipulative while I was growing up. Ever since I can remember, although I'm the youngest in my family, I had to be the peacemaker because my older sibling was often acting out, and so was my sperm donor. So I tried my best to not cause trouble to keep my mom calm, which caused me to suppress a lot of things that were going on with me. Around sophomore year of college, my older sibling came out as non-binary, and instead of openly loving and supporting her child and trying to understand them regardless of her religious beliefs, my mother continued to use my sibling's dead name and other various things that proved she did not want to understand what they were going through. Over the past couple of years, no matter how many times I have communicated to my mother that I did not care to see, hear, or talk about my sperm donor, she continued to cross my boundaries by taking phone calls from him while I was around and even going as far as to invite him to my college graduation, which he was late to, after I explicitly told her I did not want him to attend. Fast forward to almost 2 years later, I have realized that I'm bisexual, but for various reasons, including my job, I'm not able to be out in public. This, among other things, has complicated my relationship with my mom. Now that my parents are officially divorced and my older sibling is in jail, I'm the only one left in my immediate family for my mother to see with ease. Unfortunately, she is not someone who I feel like I can be fooling myself around, and any time I talk to her, I feel extremely annoyed and frustrated. At some point, I do want to have an honest conversation with her and tell her why I'm frustrated with her and why I don't talk to her as often as I used to, but I know that she is not in the emotional place to handle that, and honestly, I don't think I am either. Recently, this is all I can think about, mostly because I had a family friend, who I don't even consider a friend, call me out and tell me I need to talk to my mother more because my mother was crying at her house telling her how she feels like I've ostracized her for my life. I hate that the way that I act negatively impacts my mother, but I'm also trying my best to create healthy boundaries when it comes to who I choose to interact with and how. I'm not really sure what I'm asking for advice on, but any kind words and encouragement and thoughts that you have would be greatly appreciated. I love you both so much, and thank you for taking the time to listen to my call.
I mean, this is difficult. I don't know if you're in therapy at all, but like, I don't want to like have this like episode, the theme be like, this is like super normal. But it is. And I think like as somebody who, our situations are obviously like vastly, vastly different. But having a complicated relationship with a parent, it like that in itself is like a step in whatever direction, whether like repairing that relationship or taking more space and more boundaries. And a lot of the time people don't like talk about it in like this kind of stage. Like it's either like, oh, like I've gone no contact, or we used to have a bad relationship and now the relationship is great. And for a lot of people, like it, having it shift a lot as an adult isn't as often talked about at all. Like that, like you had a good relationship as a kid and then it tended to switch as an adult. And to feel bad and like not want this to be harming her is like a very normal reaction, because something that happens when like you were definitely parentified, I'm not even sure if that's how you pronounce that, but feeling responsible for other people's emotions. And also like you want this to be fine. Like you don't want her to be doing this. Like everyone wants like their parent to be kind and nice and supportive and have their love be not conditional and just have everything, have their boundaries be respected and all of that. So when she's not doing that, as much as like you can dislike that, you still don't want to hurt her because she's hurting you. And in the mind's eye of like, of someone who's been there, it's like, how can I, if I eliminate the hurt that I'm causing you, therefore in my logic brain, it will eliminate the hurt that you're causing me. And that's not always the case, unfortunately. And that comes from like a place of like, you know, being parentified and also feeling like you're responsible for other people, their emotions, and feeling like you need to control said situation. And like, it's up to you to fix it. And it's not. I don't think that you're doing anything wrong. I think it's like really out of pocket and like very, I think it's a very emotionally manipulative for your mom to do that to her friend and then have her friend rope you in. And I would give yourself permission to be mad, like angry and annoyed, because there's something really liberating about those kinds of things. And I think like we go through phases of like being hurt and being sad and like wanting and longing. But like when I finally let myself be like really fucking inconvenienced and like really annoyed by some of it, I was able to kind of view it not so much as a kid and not so much as that anymore, as just like human to human. Like, I don't like this fucking behavior. And like, how can I work on enforcing my boundaries and work on doing what I need so I don't have to deal with said behavior? And it's tough, but I think, I don't know. I don't think you're doing anything wrong. And I also think like if you feel bad and you reach out to her, I also don't think anyone should shame you for that. Like, I think everyone's on their own journey and their own process, and like wanting a better relationship with her is not, it's not bad. But I would say for like saying that you want to say all this to her and you want her to know how much she hurt you, I would kind of attribute like akin a little bit to when we talk about people trying to find closure. And it's like, what we want is we want what response we want to hear from them. Like, we want them to hear it. We want them to understand us. And we want to feel heard, and we want that to sink in, and it's not guaranteed. So I would probably say, and if you have a therapist, run this by your therapist, because like I'm not, I would like write a letter of everything you want to say to her. And I would give it a week, and then I would write a letter of everything you want her to say back to you. And like, not tell her, not show her, I'm saying, this is what I want. But like, what is it that you're looking from to get from her? And can you get that like love and appreciation and acknowledgement from yourself? Because you might not get that from her. The progress in your life and the acceptance in your life and moving forward and all those boundaries, it can't be resting on her to do all of that work, because she might not ever. And it sucks, but like sometimes, like, you know, therapists talk about it of like, I told my therapist like very early on, I go, I don't want to do that stuff where like you make me sit and like be the person on the other side and like talk to younger me. Like, I don't like that kind. But like, in terms of like just writing it down and putting it on paper, just having, write down all of the acknowledgements that you want, it can be really liberating and really nice to know that you actually don't need, you can want all that from her, but you don't need all of that from her. You can give yourself everything that you need, which sucks. I don't think that, I wish that wasn't the case for everyone. I wish everyone had that, but you seem really aware of like her limitations of what she can give and provide for you.
Yeah. I had to grow up a lot faster than most people my age. And the situation around it was that my mom was like a boss, but she still is, and like running corporate America. And my dad, of course, was working too. And so then my parents were like, Melissa's mature. She can like take care of things at home. And I had still have two younger siblings. And like, I've said things like recently when I was back home for this last stint, I was like looking at my niece and I was like, do y'all like, it's weird to think that when I was her age, like I was at home by myself taking care, like I could never see her doing that right now at this point. And my mom was like, what are you talking about? And I said, when I was her age, like I was home without parents, mm-hmm. and like cooking dinners and things. And she was like, what? And I had to like, yeah. She legit did not remember any of this. And I had to like go back and explain to her what had happened. And she still like really
didn't get it, I would say, but like it felt good for me to be able just to say it and realize that like I was a child helping raise children. And it's not like it, I don't think that it helped with me developmentally, but it did help me become a leader like mm-hmm. in the future. But like at that time, and I did feel like pretty powerful at the time too, where it was like, you know, like I'm a big girl, I get to do blah, blah, blah. And this is also part of like 80s and then like early 90s, like latchkey. Well, it wouldn't have been early 90s. It would have been 90s, just 80s and 90s, like latchkey kids mm-hmm. where you'd come home and do whatever. And it just felt good to talk about it, even though my mom still didn't fully get that, like that was like some childhood trauma mm-hmm. that I kind of forgot about, in the same way that the caller like suppressed things that had happened. And it was therapeutic for me just to be able to get it out. And then I talked to my sisters about it and they were like, yeah, that was wild. And then it made me see like how they parent their children differently too, and how it had an effect on them as well. So I think even if you don't talk directly to her about it, but talking to someone or putting it on paper, like Megan suggested, can help a lot.
Yeah. Verbal processing is like a thing I'm big, like that's how I can figure things out, is like talking it out. And then writing it out can also be just super helpful, because it seems like silly if you're like, well, I have all the pieces in my head, I know. But if you mm-hmm. like get it out there, it kind of is just like, it's out. Like it's not weighing on you. It's not kept in there. Like those thoughts that you keep to yourself, or those, all of those things, like they have a lot of weight when you don't have them, because they're able to ruminate. When you put them on paper, you say them out loud, like you can't go back in time and talk it over. Like you can have another conversation or write something else out again about it. But like, it just becomes like there's a start and end in the middle of like whatever you say or do in that moment. But I think like thinking or knowing that you feel like you're the only one that your mom has, like, is again, a very natural feeling, not your responsibility. And also you're not, because she went to her friend's house crying and then her friend called mm-hmm. you. So it's also so not a you problem. Like it's not like she just does this to you. People who are like this, they do it to a lot of other people and they might not notice or might not see that. But I'm like a big believer in like, you can give people, like you can set boundaries and give people whatever you have in that moment, whatever you want in that moment. And that can change at any time. You can go back on that. You can switch it up. Like you can do whatever feels good to you in that moment. But if whatever feels good to you is like what yields the best result from her, that's not predictable. And like, you don't know what's going to do that. And like, that can also involve a lot of sacrifice from you. And if it's all about how she responds to it, then a temporary or the interim thing I would work on is then, okay, if it's about how she responds, it can't all be resting on this, because there's never a good response. And so mm-hmm. then no response is no response there. And it's a journey. It sucks, but it's a journey. And I don't think like people are like helpless, or that it's like a final destination. Like it's hard to like do the same thing. Like when you're like the parent for the parents, and then you have to do that as an adult, mm-hmm. those roles are still there, and you have to like teach someone how to treat you or teach someone what they did and all of that kind of stuff. And if you don't have the bandwidth at the moment, like then don't do that. And like, it's hard. It's hard. And I wish it wasn't the case.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We're back, and we're getting in to the rest. Hey, Megan and Melissa, I'm in a bit of a pickle. I almost said I'm a bit of a pickle. Let's do this.
Tasty.
I am 23, she, her. I matched with a guy on a dating app. We met in person once and everything was great. Turn around and we decide our next meetup is with a group of friends. Well, I wasn't expecting to know one of his friends. Oi, we had a bit of a situation. Hey! But it was short-lived. We went our separate ways on a positive note and never communicated again. That was 2 years ago. So when I met him, we both kind of acted like we didn't know each other. When current guy introduced us, we both looked surprised, but he played it off and we acted like we didn't even know each other. Am I obligated to tell him? It's still new and we haven't really talked about the future. It's a very in the moment kind of quote unquote relationship. And I've never been in the situation, so I'm not sure what to do. Help. Ugh, what a classic rom-com start. This is so good. What do you think?
Have you ever been in a situation?
I'm sure in like kind of like a whatever sense, but like I had one where I was on a date with a guy and then I meet this other guy and we're all out like at a party and the guy is like, oh my God, I know you. Like you're so-and-so's like, you're so like, you know, this guy. And I was like, oh yeah. And he was like, I'm this name. And I was like, oh my God, you're his best friend. And it was this guy I had like just dated and just broken up with. And then it was like, turns out they were like the three musketeers, like three little BFFs. And I had just never met the other two because one of them had studied abroad and just got back. And then the other one like had an internship or something. And so it was like constantly like missing them. Like, can't wait for you to meet them. And then suddenly, but they were fine with it because then I was on a date. The other guy and I broke up. Then I was on a date with this other guy. And then the third guy, who I was not on a date with, then proceeded to try and hook up with me. And I was like, okay, you're all like, okay, weird.
Yeah, I've, and I think I've talked about this before. I dated a guy, but like if I had met the other friend mm-hmm. first, then I would have been with him. But then years later, that guy, the other guy and I ended up both in LA and then we hooked up. But then the third friend was also sending me text messages and offered to fly me to New York to eat me out.
Get you flew down. So like, flew down to get eaten out.
Yeah, right. And I was like, no, thank you. But I've never been where they've all were at the same location and were eye to eye with each other. That's awkward. I think that if you like him and you want to continue this relationship, then you should tell him sooner rather than later. Because I think later, your feelings will get deeper. And then if you tell him then your feelings and he doesn't like the answer, then your feelings will get hurt. But if you tell him now and he is like, absolutely not, at least you have the information. He has all the information to make a decision and you haven't caught too many feelings yet.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think like your only two options are to ghost him and never speak to him again, or you have to tell him. And like, this is rat race. You're on a race to tell him before the guy tells, like before his friend tells him, mm-hmm. because the issue is their relationship predates your relationship with him. And so he will infer his friend's intentions by not bringing it up, or he will infer your intentions by not bringing it up because he doesn't know you as well. With his friend, he can be like, well, yeah, no, he didn't bring it up because like he was trying to cover for her. They can create a whole other narrative that like maintains their friendship there. Like, and if it was the other side who's calling in, like, I would never say like, oh yeah, ditch your best friend for all of this time. Like, go for the person you've been on a couple of dates with. Like, it's not how people's brains work. Like, we trust people we've been close with for a longer period of time, no matter how much like someone initially likes you. So I think withholding the information, you're never going to get to a point where that circumstance, that behavior of like you both doing that, I don't think he's ever going to weigh it the same. I think he's going to weigh it a lot. The longer it is, the weirder it gets, because you're going to hang out with him again. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just like, are you still into my friend? Like, you don't know the relationships between them. So like, you don't know if it's like, oh, they've always been interested and like had the same type. And like the other friend, it's like, oh, so she's going to go after you again or whatever that is. Like, there's just so much room to be left to the imagination. And I don't know how, like you said, it's pretty casual. He's probably talking to his best friend more. So like for me, like I would be like, expeditiously, I need to tell him like immediately. And I would phrase mm-hmm. it, be like, hey, I don't know how to bring this up. And like, I felt kind of weird about it. And like, it's weighing on my conscience because like, I feel like I didn't know I was making a choice that like, now that I've accidentally made this choice, like, I don't like it. And like, I feel weird about it. And so I want you to know that like your friend and I, we like hooked up like one time 2 years ago. And like, I'm not going to put the blame on him or on me for like acting like we didn't know each other. But like, I didn't even realize that was what we were doing. And like, it doesn't feel right. Like, and I feel so fucking weird about it. And I really like you. And the idea that like realizing if me not saying this means that like, I don't like you and I like, there's something there. Like, I just want to be super crystal clear about it. And I think when you play things off with I don't think there's anything wrong with being like, I did this thing and I've been ruminating on it and like, I don't like it. And like, I have to tell you that I don't like it, as opposed to being like, I have something to sit down and tell you, like, this is an important thing. Like, I love when people be like, I fucked up. Like, and I would like to let you know I fucked up so we can reverse this. And so, you know, and I think the longer that you wait, again, you run the risk of him saying whatever. And like, people like to talk about how like, oh my God, like women are gossip. The amount of times that I have met men and they're like, you know, you're actually pretty cool. And I go, what do you mean actually? They're like, well, so I'm friends with this guy. There's like one specific man who is not a nobody. It's not somebody, but he's like not a nobody. Met him at a work thing one time. Hardly spoke a single word to him. He made up this whole elaborate thing about how like I was a bitch and like he was being so nice to me. And like, I was just like a slut or whatever. And like, I'm like, I didn't even realize this man was hitting on me. It was definition of like, let's go out. And they're like, no, thank you. I didn't like you anyway. You're fucking ugly slut. Like, he didn't even realize he was flirting with me. Didn't even realize he was hitting on me. I just like was doing my job, working, doing whatever. Meet someone later on who is like, you know, you're actually like, you're not what I thought you'd be. And I was like, what do you mean thought I would be? How did you know? What do you mean? And I was like, oh, I know so-and-so. And he said this, this, and this. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, fully made up a circumstance that had never happened. I'm like, we never went on a date, never had my number. We never talked. Like, he was like, oh, really? And I was like, yeah, no, not once ever. And then he was like, oh, okay. But like, a lot of the time, if someone doesn't know you that well, they will automatically assume what someone else has said about you or whatever mm-hmm. narrative they spin. And then you have to be given the opportunity, which you're not always granted, of like proving them wrong, that you don't even know what expectation or what standard or what someone else has painted you as. So I think in this circumstance, like, you know that you know something that he doesn't know, and you know someone else who knows something, and like, not saying it, there's just no way that it doesn't, that it brushes under the rug and like everything's fine and it never comes out or whatever it is. Like, it's going to be weird. Rip off the band-aid.
Yeah. Just get it over with. All right. Next one. What's up, Queens? I said it with extra ease because they put them in there. What's up, Queens? I need your advice about a situation with my aunt. She is really close and raised me. She is more like my mom than my own mom. Story for another time. So I've noticed every time I get something, she wants it too. Oh, by the way, I'm 28, she, her. I got a new job. She started looking at the same company. I say I'm getting my nails done. She's like, oh, look for me too, and expects me to pay. I am apartment shopping. She is looking at new houses. I am grateful for her raising me when she didn't have to. My life would have been so much different if my mom raised me. But I mean, is that not kind of weird? I feel like I'm competing in a race that I never wanted to be in. I feel terrible even thinking about having a talk with her, but I feel like it's needed. Does your aunt have any friends? Does your aunt have any other children? Does your aunt have anybody else in their life? When your aunt started raising you, were you the only person that they had in their life? And now that you're older, they feel disconnected. So they still try to create situations where you always have to be attached. Those are my questions. Is this weird? Yes. Does your aunt think it's weird? No, because she's like, this is my girl that I chose to have in my life. I would have a conversation and just say, like, I'm very grateful for everything that you did for me in my life. Like, you're the mom that stepped up and did what my biological mom couldn't do. But I'm older now and you don't have to be there for me all the time. You don't have to protect me. I can, you know, go off and do things on my own. I wouldn't phrase it as like it being a competition, but just say like, sometimes I just want to do things on my own. And again, I appreciate things that you did, but we need some separation.
Yeah. I think that's like I went to the much more pessimistic viewpoint, but I think you're right. Like that it could just be that I would also be curious the age that she was when she mm-hmm. took over care for you, because yeah, it could just be that she no longer related to her peers, and like, being a not biological parent, or whether she was a little bit older or a little bit younger, I could without a doubt see how she might have had some hard times like fitting in with other like guardians and parents at school. Like there's a lot of like that kind of politics in that way. So yeah, I think like a chance that she's just, I don't know, I think of like the Gilmore Girls kind of like vibe where it's like teen mom, where it's just like you're so used to being like, it's you and me, kid, we're in this together. Kind of a thing that mm-hmm. you do kind of get lost in yourself, or you start to lose yourself in that, and you become attached as like, we're both grinding this out. Alternatively, I think when you talk about it being like a race, like I would be curious if you feel like it is not just you're competing in a race, but it's a competition and someone's win, like needs to win. Like, do you feel that air of competitiveness there, or does it feel just kind of like latching on? Because specifically with mother figures and their daughters, being competitive is unfortunately ridiculously common. Mm-hmm. And I so understand that point of it. And for that, there I would draw hard boundaries. And that is that person doesn't actually get to be privy to the information in your life that is a real competition. So things that like aren't so much like your thing, like you can talk about like, oh my God, did I tell you like so-and-so just got a new puppy. Like, you can talk about other people and other people's accomplishments and other people's things. You can talk about things that have happened already with you, but like talking about things that are in the pipeline with you that you really care about, that then feel like you're suddenly competing with, for an apartment, you're not just competing with like people for that same apartment. It's just like, she might get great news the same day that you get really bad news about an apartment. Like, so there's that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. So things that really matter to you and that the competition would feel really hurtful or slow your progress and your motivation and make you feel like, not like giving up, but like make you feel discouraged. That I would filter with like what you tell her. Cause like even something as simple as like, you're going to go get your nails done. And she's like, oh my gosh, me too. Like I'll go. And then expects you to pay for her. Don't tell her when you're getting your nails done. Like get your nails done before you see her. And it can be hard to feel like there's a shift and like kind of just want to be like, well, I just don't want you to do this. I want to still be able to talk to you how I talk to you. And like, it just sucks. Like sometimes that can't happen. And that doesn't mean it's like permanent and it might just be like a phase. But I also think like, I don't know. I'm obviously like not in the situation, but like even you being like, I'm like so grateful for her raising me when she like didn't have to. I feel personally a collective moral obligation to other people on the planet, but really specifically like kids. Like I feel a moral obligation. And so if there's any part of you that feels like this is a tit for tat, she did so much for me, so I have to do this for her. I just don't believe that. Like if I, God forbid something happened and I had to take custody of a kid in my family or in my life, like they wouldn't owe me anything. I owe them, right. Like as a human, I owe them. And the only thing that I want them to owe other people is to be a good person to other people. It can be to me, sure, but it can be to other people. Like that's all that there is. And I don't, knowing that you can acknowledge that they stepped up and that the situation that was existing prior was not a good one. I personally don't think that there's anything you need to do to repay, or you should feel like you're walking on eggshells about saying this conversation because you don't want her to think you're not grateful. Like not being raised by your biological mom, it is not a kudos point to somebody else who then raised you. To me, I'm like, you're having to deal with the trauma of whatever whatever happened prior to that to deal with. I wouldn't be expecting to be showered with endless gratitude. Because it's not a situation that anybody probably was the first choice or the first thing or what anyone thought was going to happen. And I don't know if any of that's coming from her or if that's just coming from you, but it is without a doubt weird. And I don't know that I would necessarily talk to her about this, but I would do some field research and see if this is coming from a place of boredom, like Melissa said, or if this is coming from a place of competition. And like wanting to win. And like, yeah, she might feel behind in her life. And therefore, when you start achieving these other milestones, that she feels like she needs to be achieving comparable ones. And it's not the case. So I would do that before you say anything, because I don't think that you even really want to say anything right now. I think until you know exactly why she's doing that, I would figure out how that makes you feel so you can express that to her as opposed to trying to figure out her motivation. You know, like I would figure out her motivation or figure out how her, whatever she's doing, how that's making you feel and what you think the goal is behind that with before you talk to her so you can feel better equipped. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, people who've like really felt like they've done you a solid, and she has, but again, I think it's an obligation. It can feel, there's a whole other level of abandonment, of feeling like another person that you kind of have to watch what you say because they're just going to hop out of your life. And that part sucks. And I don't want you to go through that.
Agree. Ooh. All right. We're going to take another break.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
And we're back. And it is time for Don't Blame Them, which is where a listener will call in or write in with their own experience based on a call we had on a previous episode. So, you know, maybe it's about a professional thing and someone works in that field or relationships and they've been through that, or they just know somebody who has, they have their own additional insight that they want to share. And we welcome it with open arms.
So we've got a write-in for this one, straight from our DMs. So this was actually last week's episode where somebody asked about sleepovers with their kids and what you should do in that situation. So this person says, for sleepovers, I only was allowed to go if we knew both parents and also any siblings, other kids there. Always had emergency contact information and lived close by. Sometimes I just get picked up late at night, but that was more my own anxieties. We also had people over more than I went to other people's homes. I also knew I could call my parents if I needed, and I did, but only because of my own anxiety sleeping away from home. We also did more with cousins, which can be a happy middle ground if everyone is trustworthy in the family, which I know is not always the case.
Yep. Sounds pretty similar to my stuff.
Yeah. I think the vetting the parents, but I think what your mom like made a lot of sense, like watching how other kids treat your kid and then how your kid is behaving and acting there. Cause like, you know, your kid better than anyone else. So like you could see a kid who's, I don't know, or a parent, like you can be like, oh, my, is this odd? But you'll question yourself, but you know how your kid behaves. So if you see something off with that, you know, that's not in your head because you know them so well. But yeah, I mean, I've said this before, but like the last, I would just encourage anybody that make your kid can come home at any time. You can call them whenever, for whatever, because then they'll actually tell you if something happens or they feel uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Well, we hope y'all enjoyed this episode. I forgot to say at the beginning, you can watch this video version of the podcast on Patreon. You can also join our Patreon for live streams that we do twice a month. They are very fun. You can also join, if you join the Patreon, you can join our Monopoly Go group where, drum roll everybody, this girl did finish her album. Yes, the first time, but I finished and I'm feeling pretty good about it. It is crazy to start from square one.
Yeah, but it only took you, because you started at the beginning of January, so it only took you 2 months.
Yeah, and I have a hard time with, we know I have a hard time with numbers or like telling time spans, but I was like, there's no way I'm going to finish it. I only have 32 days left. And I'm like, Megan, you only started playing. You like haven't you've been playing for that long. Like, what do you mean? You're more than halfway through and you have that much time left. So it's a fun time. It's a good time. It's a great time.
How's it feel to finish one of your hobbies?
Well, it keeps going at this point.
I understand, but you finish one aspect. You got to think of the milestones.
Oh, it was great. I was, yeah. I literally let out an audible, woo! And McMott was at, he was like at the gym or something. And he came home and he was golfing. And he comes home in the afternoon and he's like, hey. And I go, you're talking to a new girl. Do you notice anything different about me? And he was like, no, what? And I was like, I finished my sticker pack. And he was like, wow. Like, you couldn't tell me shit. Like, I'm just sitting here, just my ass on, 18,000 rolls, just sitting on it, waiting on it.
I remember you said you're holding it.
I am holding it. And I'm loving it. And it's a great time. And you can all play with us. We have so much fun. We have fun trading cards, you know? So join the Patreon.
I got to get back in the group. I just kind of dip in.
And you're like, wait, what's going on? And then everybody responds and is like, okay, here's the recap. Well, we hope you enjoyed the episode. Again, you can always leave us a review on Apple Podcast, or Spotify. And you can also leave a review for the specific episode on Spotify. Please write in, call in for upcoming episodes. And we've got a whole slew of shows for the rest of the week for you.
Tune in tomorrow for See You Next Tuesday, where we go over the alignments. And I'll say the majority of you were right. Some of you, very wrong. Thursday, we'll get into But Am I Wrong? And then Friday, listen to the results from But Am I Wrong on Fisting Friday.
Woo! Prime your buttholes. You've got a couple days.
All right.
Well, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye. Bye.
Don't Blame Me is a production by me, Megan Rinks.
And me, Melissa D. Montz, plus Diamond Imprint Productions.
Post-production sound and editing by Coco Lorenz.
Production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.
And music by Giacomo Picasso and Ryan Hunter.